Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pape. Welcome back to hour number three of Rush to Reason. And joining us right now is Kurt Rogers with the Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, how are you doing this week?
I am doing just marvelous. You know, we just had like 3-4 days off. It's just a beautiful thing. It was a great Christmas.
Oh, that's fantastic. Did you have family, friends, the whole thing?
Yep, had that. You know, when you walk outside on Christmas Day and it's 60-plus degrees, it's like, what am I doing inside with, you know, please, I got to get outside.
That's a beautiful day. And real quick here, you got big New Year's plans. I mean, is the Rogers household, is that the one that all the cops are going to be called on because it's just going to be this wild party?
No, that's my son, four doors down. Mine's not so quiet, but my son's four doors down will be a little loud.
All right, well, let's talk mortgage rates. Let's talk refis, because coming into 2021, people are going to want to save money, Kurt. And I guess here's my question, because I'm a real layman when it comes to this. I've done a couple refis, but while all the loans are structured differently, where would you put kind of the dividing line? If you are below this rate, don't worry about refi. If you are above this rate, you really need to call Kurt Rogers.
Well, if you're at 3 1/8, 3% and below, you're probably pretty good unless you might want to shorten your term. But if you're at 3 1/8 and higher, you need to be looking at refinancing, even if you're not going to take cash out, even if you don't want to extend your term. You don't have to go back to a 30-year. You can stay at a 26 or 27. Because of where the rates are, you're actually going to probably lower your payment, bring no cash to the table, miss a couple months, and not extend anything. So, yeah, it definitely pays, because you're going to drop your rate and your payment so well. That's what most people are doing.
Let me ask you this, Kurt, because refis to me are a lot like a will. And what I mean is this: we wait too long to do wills. We do. We wait way too long, and we finally get around to it, and we put it off. And we seem to procrastinate on refis as well. Why do you think that is? Why do people wait to make that much more money back?
Because I hear people all the time, and I was reading it over the weekend, that the rates are, this is the 16th time this year that the rates have dropped to historical lows. Well, what does that mean? I'm in the business. I don't understand where they're coming up with 16 times where there's historical lows. So people get the tendency to believe that rates are going to be here and stay here. Now, do I believe that? Yeah, they're going to stay here for a while, but we're starting to see a little flux. We're starting to see the rates go up and then turn around and come back down. So there's coming to a point now that I'm advising people, get your stuff ready, and when you find this rate that's really good, nail it at one of these 16 times when it's lower, and then you're safe. If not, you just sit on it, because eventually, the talk now is after the first quarter, you're going to see rates go above 3% to 3.5%. Well, that's going to take a lot of people out of the market.
Right. And that makes sense, Kurt. I just wanted to jump in here. You know, one thing I've seen in my industry with construction and remodeling is people are taking out these refis not only to lower their interest rate and monthly payment. Obviously, that's probably the primary reason you see it. But I've also seen it because they're taking that equity out, if they have it, and they're re-putting it into their home. They're reinvesting it into their home through remodel work and home upgrades. Have you been seeing a lot of that, too, where they're taking out some cash with their refinancing?
Actually, that's about 60% of my business, because when you look at it long term, you're able to. I have one guy, he's taken out $70,000. He's not extending his term. He's still lowering his payment, and he's getting $70,000
cash. Wow. And if he puts it back into his home, then that's a win-win, because it's a reinvestment and his equity goes up.
Right. He's going to get, in most cases, 50 cents on the dollar on the money that he's spending. In some cases, you can get as high as 90.
Come on. I'm so glad you're saying that, Kurt. I've been telling my customers that. So to hear you say that's a good confirmation.
And, you know, somebody the other day told me what my house was worth after I did some remodel. I said, I wouldn't pay that for it. They said, we don't care. That's what it's worth.
Right. That's right. That's
Isn't
right.
it wonderful you don't have to pay that for it? Because you have it?
That's true. Yeah. I bought it many years ago for 91, and it's worth a whole lot more now.
Well, Kurt, that is fantastic. And sorry, I know
what
you did.
Yeah. I was just going to say the final bonus reason you might want to refi is the investment property. Maybe you want cash for a down payment for another property. Rental is big right now.
Well, John has talked about this loan out there that will actually help you buy investment property, and it costs you nothing for the down payment. Because when you take money out of the equity of your home, the tenant that's going to rent from you is going to pay that back. You're not paying it.
Oh.
And there's a loan that I have that works very well for that.
That's even better.
And I have lots of customers doing that, and it just protects them.
Well, that's fantastic, Kurt. How can people get to you? How can they reach you to get that loan or any other loan and lower their rate?
720-895-0500, or they can go to our website at aimortgage.net, and we will be open Thursday. Not long, but we'll be open Thursday.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks, Kurt. Hey, one last thing. Are you doing Haystack tomorrow?
Actually, yes. We're going to be doing it on mortgages and different things that are happening in the industry, so it'll be me.
Outstanding, folks. Tune in tomorrow at noon. You're going to hear Kurt Rogers. Thanks, Kurt. We'll see you next Monday.
You guys have a safe New Year's.
Have a safe New Year's.
Thanks,
you
Kurt.
And I guess your son, too. Take care. Okay. Well, we are back, sir. And
that's good.
Let's talk a little bit about just, you know what? Can I talk something totally weird? Totally different.
Go for it. Throw it out there.
I want to talk about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
Okay. Because this one scientist came out and he decided to get a little crazy. And he's very, but actually he's talking facts. Okay. He's talking about Santa and his reindeer, and he's actually a little bit upset. He says, Santa doesn't know zoology. And this is scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh.
There's an article about this in Town Hall.
The quote scientist.
Yes, yes. He says, Santa doesn't know zoology. Both male and female reindeer grow antlers, but all male reindeer lose their antlers in the late fall, well before Christmas. So Santa's reindeer, which all sport antlers, are therefore all female, which means Rudolph has been misgendered.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, is Rudolph is Rudolph gender confused? I mean, is he really a reindeer?
Well, and this
could
is
he
just,
use any bathroom at Target?
Gosh. This is just one of those woke cookies. Here, just let's give Neil his woke cookies. Hey, you placated to the culture. You said what was politically correct. Now all the reindeer are feminine. They're female. I mean, come on. Is that a true fact? I don't know. I could do a little bit of research on reindeer, but you know why he's doing that. He's doing that to stroke the back and ego and get a little bit of woke cookies from the feminist crowd.
You know, I have a theory here. I believe Rudolph was held out of the reindeer games because he had an unfair gender advantage.
Oh,
what do you think?
Man, I guess that was it. It wasn't the nose after all.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of an issue there, and I just thought this was hilarious.
Oh, man, that is hilarious. No,
so is this true, male reindeer don't actually have any antlers at that time of year? Is that true?
I don't know. We'd have to look that up. But
he's shaking his head. He does not know.
It's just interesting when we start to think anything through the filters of progressivism, whether it's the extreme feminist movement or the BLM and Antifa movement, we can pick apart any story, any tradition, whether it's Santa or whether it's a Bible story. I literally saw a tweet the other day where they were trying to compare Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, because it's Christmas time, right? And they're talking about how that whole story is actually a story of the Me Too movement, because Mary should be believed, right? Because she was a virgin, as the Bible describes it.
Right.
And Joseph believed her. Well, only because an angel intervened and told him, you should believe your wife. But this guy...
Otherwise, a man never would have believed.
This blue check Twitter guy was saying, this is about the Me Too movement. That's really what this story is about. I just thought, this is ridiculous. We're making false comparisons here just to, you know, get some woke cookies.
Well, I, you know, I totally think that guy is right. I totally think Rudolph was a girl, and vote Biden.
There you go. Yeah, it's all in the same. Yeah.
I just think here's the thing that really gets me, Rob, is that this is a scientist. They always tell us science, 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 science. He may be right, by the way. I have no idea when.
Yeah, here, I'll look it up while you're.
Where the antlers fall out. Okay, no clue, don't care. But why is he making a point like this? It's just, it's stupid, it's boring, it doesn't make any sense, and I just wish that they would let these kinds of things go. Okay, now, let's get back to, really quick here, because we've got a little time in this segment, the church.
And by the way, Andy, they're flying reindeers. I mean...
Well, now that's scientific. I don't know why. So, how can you deny that?
So to say, well, their antlers have to fall out at this time. Come on, man. These are magical reindeer. They've got antlers year-round.
Why are you crushing my...
childhood
This
dream.
Is my childhood. That's okay, because, you know, until today, childhood
right
happiness was still intact.
LiveScience.com. Male reindeers typically shed their antlers at the end of mating season in early December. But hey, it said typically. So could they make it through December 25th? I mean, I wonder.
So he was a reindeer.
I mean, he could have been.
Just confused.
I'm not changing the pronoun.
You're not going to do it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Hey, I'll tell you what. Before we go to break here, you know what our next ad is for?
Don't tell me reindeer meat.
No, it's for Mighty Hand Construction.
Oh, I knew that. You told me that
earlier. So I just want to ask you, are they trustworthy? Can we allow these people, are they people of good character?
Hey,
can we allow them to be in our homes, or do we have to be afraid?
Hey, I'll do the segue here for Mighty Hand. It's, man, what an honor and a privilege to work there. Mighty Hand Construction. Offering all your residential remodel needs, building your home from the ground up or remodeling anything in your home. But no, very trustworthy people. I know that's kind of tooting my own horn, but no, in all sincerity, we hire character first.
Right.
We actually would rather take the painful route, the slower route of training someone who has high character than taking someone with a lot of industry knowledge and experience without that character. And so that's what you'll see with our guys. And that's why we're playing the long game. Right? We're hiring the character first.
All right. How do they reach you?
You can call the office, 970-844-9191, except with the holidays right now, it'd probably be quicker and faster to go to mightyhandconstruction.com.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom and pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. The same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but 5-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Car accident can bring panic, so replace that panic with this phone number. 720-541-7697. At a good shop, a real live caring person answers the phone every time, and they'll help with your insurance claim while handling all your auto body work in-house. That's very important, folks. Means you get it back sooner. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a good shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a good shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
It's been said the world's a stage and everyone must play their part. Well, if that's true, I'll act with all my heart.
And I'm acting with all my heart here on Rush to Reason, KLZ. Yeah, he's looking at me. KLZ 560, Denver's Afternoon Rush. All right.
That had a little different theme than the last few.
I know. Well, you know, it's probably not the kind of music you expect in a zombie movie, but, you know, it was there. I kind of enjoyed it. She had a very pretty voice, by the way, and a fine dancer, which you really need to be if you're going to fight zombies.
And this was a musical.
Yes.
Wow.
Anna and the Apocalypse. Okay. What I want to play right now is just a minute or two of this video, and it's a guy who, he's an American. His name is Drew Binksy, and he goes overseas. He goes to Egypt. I don't know if you've heard about this, but in Egypt, they've gone all Sweden.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. They've no masks.
Full board.
They've shut it
open.
They are all open. They've shut all down all the masks. Well, listen to this guy. He's freaking out because he's a Karen. Remember, we're talking about Christians and Karens. Yep. Remember today? Who wants to control your life? He's a Karen, and he's also interviewing this Egyptian guy who's a friend of his. Nice guy. And kind of asking about all this. Listen to this.
Taking away the virus?
Exactly. Yeah, they think so.
It's crazy to me. I mean, we've been wearing masks when we're out in public, when we're around people. Personally, I would like to wear a mask because I feel much safer that way. And I almost feel like people kind of look at me weird. They're like, oh, you have a mask on. It's just the most bizarre thing ever. But listen, I just looked up the numbers. There's been 100,000 reported cases and 5,000 deaths. That's extremely low for a country with over 100 million people, right?
Yes.
But how is it possible that it's not, like in the U.S., we're really keeping a 6 feet distance. We are wearing masks. We're avoiding crowds. And the numbers are going way up. But how can a place like Egypt, where everybody's touching, shaking hands, kissing, and it's not good? I don't understand. Like, are Egyptian people immune?
You can say that, like, there are a lot of disease here.
Maybe you guys are exposed to more things on a daily basis, exactly. and your bodies aren't.
Yes, a lot of people have a lot of, like, diseases here.
I don't know if the numbers are accurate, they're probably not, but the death count should be accurate, because if someone dies, you should know how they died. And it's only been 5,000, which is really low.
Yeah, nowadays, like, between 10 and 20.
Cases a day?
Yeah.
10 and 20 cases a day in Egypt. I don't know. I just really feel the need to document this because a lot of people are like, wow, how do you visit Egypt? Is it open? And the country's open. You have to show a negative COVID.
All right. Notice how this guy's falling apart. Here, his friend.
He's shocked.
Yes, his friend is basically saying, we're fine.
Yep.
Okay. And he's saying earlier in the video, he's actually complaining. He says these people should be wearing masks. They should be wearing masks.
Wow.
Yeah. Now,
even though he knows the numbers.
Yes.
He's in bewilderment of the numbers, but he knows them, and yet he still says, I think people should wear the mask. Now, notice what he said about himself. And I personally want to wear the mask. And he didn't say because the numbers demand it or because it makes the most sense. He said because I feel safer wearing it. So there he is putting feelings over facts.
Think about this. I feel safer. First of all, in theory, the mask
isn't
supposed
for
to make
you.
Other people safer.
Right.
What is the main place you're going to absorb this stuff through? It's through the eyes. right? A wet surface on your body, the eyes, right? And you're not going to absorb it through any other way. Well, that, and yet he says, I'm going to feel safer if I wear a mask.
Right. Well, and they say it's airborne, but regardless, the mask is supposed to block your breath and molecules from others, not the other way around. What Egypt is doing is is incredible. And I think I was watching some videos on them a while back, and the people just wouldn't give in to the restrictions. Like I, from what I know,
rose up.
They just said, we're not doing this. And the government said, forget it.
Okay. Well, just so you know, in Tennessee, and this is once a guy named Scott Moorfield, he's on townhall.com. He's a columnist, great guy. And he goes on there and he did a study. Because he lives in Tennessee, he didn't want to do the whole state. It's too much because he says the state is so wide. If you do it all, it's going to be too many variables. So he just did the eastern half of Tennessee, and he looked at, I think, 17 counties. All right. Nine of them were mask mandate counties and eight of them weren't, or the other way around. I forget. But basically half and half, or 17 counties. Sorry. And here's what he found. He ran the numbers for mask counties, right? Mask mandate counties, lockdown mask mandate counties versus non-mask counties.
There's no difference.
Yeah. Here's what he found over the allotted time. And it was October 1st to December 22nd. So, you know, talking about 7 weeks. So that's quite a while. And he says over the allotted time, counties with mask mandates saw 4.7% of their population infected, while those without them saw a 4.6% infection rate.
Wow.
Exactly the same.
Well, and that's what you were saying earlier, is if the infection rates and death rates, which is even more important, were astronomically high, we'd all be wanting to use the common sense and protect each other. It's because it feels like we're destroying our mental, emotional, and financial health for nothing. That's what what those numbers tell me. What Egypt's telling me, what New Zealand, New Zealand's been open since like June, they declared. I think it was I've got the date here, June 8th. The nation is coronavirus free, declaring the nation virus free. They had 22 deaths. Now it's a small country.
Yeah.
But I mean, they said, look, this is ridiculous. It's the numbers aren't lining up.
No, the numbers aren't lining up. And as I've mentioned before, Sweden has people over the last couple months dying at a way lower rate than the rest of Europe. Okay.
Well, if you put everyone inside and we're all masked up and we're not touching anything, I mean, that can't be good for the antibodies. That can't be good for herd immunity. I mean, it's actually probably opposite of what we should be doing.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Mr. Pastor. So they come with these mask mandates. Once again, if masks really worked and if we were facing a real plague, you as a church leader would say, yes, wear masks and let's do everything we can to stop this. We don't want to be a zone that has this burst
of
cases.
A hot zone, sure. We'd get together with our local elders. We would pray. We'd seek God's wisdom. We'd look at his word. We'd look at pragmatic wisdom. We'd look at the numbers. We'd make the best decision for our people. Even then, because of our faith, there are certain conscience issues, like we're not going to stop meeting, for instance. Or the Bible says if someone is sick, he should get prayer from the elders and they should lay hands on them. I wouldn't stop doing that. I would risk my own health to lay my hands and pray over someone because that's what I believe my faith requires of me. And that conscience is more important than the restriction. However, I wouldn't turn the church into a giant hotbed in the middle of a real pandemic.
Right. But quick question here. How do you feel as a Christian leader, as a pastor? Quick question, quick answer, okay? Watching mask mandates that clearly are not working. I mean, for crying out loud, the people who are wearing them the most are catching it.
It's true.
Okay, so clearly
everyone in my circle of influence, the mask wearers got the...
And you've got government coming to you and saying, you want people to get together in a church and pray and sing and all this, they got to wear masks. You know that makes the church service... Let's face it.
Lackluster,
less effective. Yeah. It affects what you do.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Real quick.
Terrible. I resist it.
Good for you. Because I think it's horrible. And I just think it's absolutely unconscionable for government to avoid all the facts, avoid all the numbers, and put these things down that are crushing people who are looking at the facts, looking at the numbers. Yeah. All right, let's go to break. Purefoy Chevrolet, John's new Corvette C8 is out at Purefoy's Corvette showroom. Swing by and take a look. It's gorgeous. And also look at Purefoy's full line of new and used cars on year-end deals. Find Purefoy Chevrolet online at purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311. Purefoy Chevrolet, find new roads.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purefoy and his team at Purefoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purefoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, folks, you've done your job for years, but retirement, that's a whole new world. Let Al Smith guide you to minimize risk, protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, or show you when's the best time to file for Social Security. Call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. On the line right now is Jersey Joe, Trader Joe as my wife calls him, because he left our wonderful state and went to New Jersey, the communist land of commies. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Andy. I'm great. How you doing today?
How you doing, Joe?
That's the official New Jersey greeting for all talk show hosts. I apologize. Is it Doug or Dan?
It's Rob.
Rob, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Joe, I got to ask you really quick here. Even if you're talking to a 112-year-old lady, does she say, how you doing?
Absolutely.
Hey, Joe, before you run into some other stuff, I got to ask you a question.
What's that?
Joe Biden has accused the Trump administration of withholding information from his transition team. He's very upset about this. Am I the only one who sees some irony here?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, how was the Trump transition into power? Let's talk about that.
You know, you're stressing your memory going back 8 years, but as I recall, it wasn't the smoothest thing in the world.
Right. Yeah, the hypocrisy of the witch hunt, where they withheld a lot of information, maybe the fact that they were investigating him. They withheld that information, but, you know, Trump can't withhold information. So even though the director of the National Intelligence Agency says there's no information being withheld.
So anyway, I just wanted to ask you that because that blew my mind.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
How could he complain about that? But anyway, what do you have today?
Well, you know, I sent you an email over the holidays, and Rob, you haven't heard this, but, you know, one of the things I do in the morning, I'm up early, a couple hours ahead of my family, and one of the things I do, I actually follow a couple of these liberal sites. You know, Caesar said, keep your friends closer and your enemies closer.
Right.
So to keep my finger on the pulse of what the left is doing, I follow a couple of these liberal websites, and these aren't fringe. I mean, these sites have 5 million, 6 million followers. That's how many people are out there. And they are absolutely insane. And what I was stunned.
Wow.
You know, I didn't go on Facebook Christmas Eve. I was with family. You know, we had family events. But I'm up early Christmas morning, you know, about 6:30, had my second cup of coffee, watched the news. Go on Facebook, and here are all of these. By the way, and these sites, their modus operandi is to run these stories that are designed to trigger anger, hate, and outrage in their followers. And sure enough, I thought they would take a break for Christmas Eve, but they didn't. You know, between them, they had put up, I don't know, a dozen of these hateful, angry, distorted propaganda pieces.
On Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. And, you know,
wow.
And by the way, and the targets are, you're supposed to hate Trump, you're supposed to hate Republicans, you're supposed to hate rich people, you're supposed to hate Christians.
White Christian males. Yeah.
White Christian males, right. And, okay, they want to put up half a dozen stories like that. But what stunned me were the thousands of angry, vitriolic comments by people who apparently had nothing better to do Christmas Eve and Christmas morning than to go on Facebook and post their vitriol and hatred. This is what they were doing on Christmas Eve. It just said, how sad for them, you know, that they have, you know, they have no life.
Right. When Christmas is short for the day of Christ, that's what Christmas means, day of Christ.
Yes.
Where he came to bring what? Peace to the earth, goodwill toward men. That's the angel's pronouncement, right? And yet you have humanity here, 21st century America, liberal left, just just assaulting each other online verbally.
Well, not each other. It's directed at, you know, their
or
part
toward,
of the like, yeah, it, yep. to, if you're not one of them, and by the way, a great many of them like to make fun of people who believe in God. Oh, you
right.
Don't tell me you're one of those people that believe in that imaginary man in the sky. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the hatred and derision of people who have of faith.
But you can discriminate against Christians, Joe. You can't discriminate against anyone except white male Christians. That's the one group you can discriminate against.
Exactly. So I just thought it was sad. It was just a commentary on. I think John Rush has said that liberalism is a disease, and at this point, I really have to agree with him, because you know, because only somebody with, you know, some sort of either somebody who's been completely brainwashed, or who has some sort of mental defect.
Well, you get used to being miserable and complaining. It's almost contagious, right? And you get used to pointing the finger rather than bringing hope and life and peace. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be about.
Yep. But these people have formed their own echo chamber. They're self-reinforcing. And I just want your listeners to understand that there are literally millions of people out there that have embraced this, and they do it every day.
Wow.
Every single day. This is their life.
Well, we have to be careful not to do that, which the fact that you go to these sites proves you're not doing that. You're trying to hear from both sides. It's just what you're hearing from that side is nothing but the hatred.
Well, and by the way, and I also visit a few conservative sites.
Right.
And I will see, you know, I'm a guy that deals in facts, and I'll see, are you familiar with the phrase confirmation bias?
Yes.
You know, where somebody posts something mm-hmm. that you want to believe, you won't bother to fact. That sounds right. Yeah,
you see what you want to see. Yeah,
right, and believe what you want to believe. Just, you know, you'll just accept it. I'll go on conservative sites and I'll see things that I'm saying that doesn't sound right, and I'll fact check it, and I'll go back and post and say, oh, you know, that's not. And by even some of my friends who are conservatives, they'll post something or a meme. And I'll go to my friends and say, you know, Bob, that's not right. Here's the
good
fact.
For you, Joe. That's real. That because the truth sets us free. That's what we should be doing. Because then we're not buying into sensationalism. Because that's really the clickbait that's hurting both sides and burying the truth.
Right, and also, you know, you really ought to either correct it or take that post down because it's not true. And almost always, whether it be a friend, somebody who knows me, or a conservative site, it's like, yeah, thanks, didn't know that, I'll fix it. You do that on a liberal website, you post them a verifiable fact that contradicts a lie they've posted, they get angry. How dare you? They want to be outraged. They love their outrage. They embrace their outrage. And if you do anything to take away something they're outraged about, they get so incredibly angry. They attack you personally. They call you the most vile and disgusting. And all you're doing is saying, hey, that's not right. Here's the facts. You know, it's New York Times, the U.S. Treasury Department, IRS data. What you just said is factually incorrect. And I don't know what it is that triggers them to respond with outrage and vitriol at you just for trying to tell them the facts. Because they don't want to know the facts. They cling to that those
their narrative
lies and propaganda.
You know, one of the things that really gets me about this show is that they just won an election. They stole it. They stole and they got away with it, an election. And they're still not happy. They still wake up every day, and all that matters to them is to be a Karen who spews hate online and then calls in their neighbor because their neighbor wasn't wearing a mask long enough.
Well, they still hate. They hate Mitch McConnell. They hate Jeff Bezos. You know, they hate the Walton family. You know, Biden needs to. You know, Biden needs to confiscate all of Bezos' money and.
Right.
The Waltons, you know, we need to shut the Walmarts of the world down. I mean, there's so much to hate out there. You know, we need to tax the churches, those damn churches, the churches need to be taxed. I mean, there's so many things that they've taken this and now they want to run with the power. And just like true fascists,
they want
to wield that big fascist power stick.
Okay. Well,
and that's where we have to push back with true love. Not liberal, tolerant love in the name of social progressivism and woke cookies, but real, genuine, shepherding, confrontational love like every parent does with their children, right? Or the good parents do, right? You love unconditionally, but you shepherd, you correct, you discipline. And so we have to come back being the salt of the earth and loving, overcoming the evil with good. And keep the truth coming. Keep the truth coming, Joe, because the truth will set us free. It will guide us home. It will guide us back to sanity. We just have to keep speaking it, not be afraid of speaking it, hold the line, and really take whatever heat we have to hold the line, and it will guide us back.
Well, Joe doesn't know anything about taking heat in New Jersey. It's such a friendly, relaxed place. I mean, everything's fine there, right, Joe?
Everything is fine. By the way, we have more than our share of crazy Karens here and liberals. But by the way, I do want to mention something.
Yeah.
If either one of you ever heard of it. Psychological study, and you might want to Google this on the break or when you go home tonight. There is a psychological thing called the backfire effect. Have you ever heard of it?
No, but I'm interested.
No, go ahead. What is it?
Proven psychological phenomena. If you take somebody that has a closely held belief, it could be it could be a religious belief, could be a political belief, could be a social belief. And if you present them with hard data that contradicts that belief, they become even more entrenched in that belief. They will find reasons to reject that data. I mean, and some of the stuff I see when they, you can't believe the IRS is political. Trump controls what the IRS publishes. You cannot believe how people will rationalize that the verifiable data you're giving them is incorrect, and they're going to cling to that belief even tighter and harder than they were before. Backfire effect, a true psychological phenomena. If you get some time, where Andy, maybe as I'm rambling on here, you might want to Google it, but backfire.
I wonder if that's even worse in the digital world, because in the past, you were confronted with the marketplace of ideas generally face-to-face in the office place or at different community functions and outings and potlucks. Now everything is online. The town square is social media now. And I wonder if a lot of that confirmation bias and that, would you call it backlash effect?
Backfire effect.
I wonder if digital media has, in our world, only made that worse.
You know, there's so much out there that they can always find something to cling to, that to rebut, you know. Well, I don't care what you that says here. I read this article, and I mean, you can find articles that say masks, you know, masks will protect you, and you find other articles will say masks don't protect you, and they will selectively believe the ones they want to believe, and they'll reject the ones they don't want to believe. And that's part of the problem with digital media, is that you can literally, right, on any given topic, you know, find thousands of studies, opinions, whatever.
We need real truth, and we're going to find out.
Hey, Joe, can I hold you over the break? When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about taxing the church. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, we'll do that. First up, Extreme Auto Repair. Folks, do you want a deal on auto service? Well, veterans, first responders, and Costco members all get 15% off service right now at Extreme. But even if none of those apply to you, there are Groupons and coupons available at extremeautorepair.com. Or give them a call at 303-841-1071. Great service, great deals, Extreme Auto Repair.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
You go to the grocery store to buy ice cream and end up with a dislocated shoulder. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law has one goal: to make sure you get the medical care you need without worrying about the cost. Your first reaction when you slip and fall tends to be embarrassment and avoidance. You hustle up to get off the floor, tell everyone you're fine, and go home in a hurry. Then, once the adrenaline wears off, you start to realize that you're not fine after all. You end up in the emergency room needing rotator cuff surgery. Suddenly, you're facing upwards of $50,000 in hospital bills, all because of a shopping trip. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch, will prove the place of business created a dangerous condition, holding them accountable for your medical expenses so you can focus only on getting the treatment you need. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesch and Beck Law. They get results.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
When I look back over my yesterdays, I was so sure, certain I'd find my way.
But now this is a good song for 2020, don't you think, Rob?
Looking back, looking forward at this terribly.
And by the way, that's from Anna and the Apocalypse. She's looking back on a world that has now been eaten alive by zombies, which is kind of 2020, don't you think, Joe?
I can't disagree with that.
I cannot either. Hey, really quick here. People are talking a lot about taxing the church, I think, coming into 2021. The reason is we're going to have an administration that hates the church. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to put it that way. I do not care how many of their supporters say, I go to church, I care. No, sorry, not buying it. Because every piece of legislation they put out is anti-church. Here is my big reason why we do not tax the church. And Joe, I'm going to ask you to respond to this. It's because the church does not provide I mean, the church does not receive guaranteed revenue for their product given. Okay. If I go to McDonald's and I get that value meal, I'm getting a product and tax is being paid directly on the product. If I go and buy a car, same thing. If I go to them and say, I'm not going to pay you for this product, they won't give me the product. But if I go to Rob's church and I ask for counseling, I get it. If I want a sermon that inspires me, I get it. If I want my kid to be in a youth group, I get it. I may give, I may not, in the weekly, you know, and put into the basket. Mm-hmm. They don't have guaranteed revenue for their product given. And because of that, I don't think it's fair to tax them. What do you think, Joe?
I agree completely. I've seen this over and over and over in these liberals that we need to tax the churches. A couple of things. One, you know, a church provides, whether it is in group, as in Sunday Mass, or individually, you know, churches provide a counseling service. It can be group counseling, individual. Counseling services, you know, as a rule, are nonprofits. I mean, you can look in the phone book. There's counseling services in Denver.
Right.
They provide a service. They provide counseling. They're nonprofits. Now, first of all, people think, you know, when they think of taxing the churches, they're thinking of like the Joel Osteen, the mega churches, and he's got a corporate, he's got a private jet and lives in a 30-room mansion. Okay, well, they tax his income. But a couple of things. They think, well, they don't understand taxation. One, they think that the government should take a piece of the revenue. Most churches barely scrape by. Well, even if you were to tax them, you only tax profits. Well, at the end of the year, how much does your typical neighborhood church
retain? Nothing.
Nothing.
They're breaking even. Yeah.
You know, if they're
they might have a little bit of savings, but
you know, they might, you know, put a little bit away for a rainy day. The church needs a new roof, repave the parking lot. But first of all, there's nothing there.
Right.
And then I say, well, if we're going to tax church, well, they say, well, the churches need to stay out of politics because, you know, pastors will adopt a position on an issue. Now, under IRS regs, churches cannot endorse a specific candidate, nor can they donate money to a campaign. But
even that was only 1956 with Lyndon B. Johnson, and many pastors reject that.
Right.
But yes, now, you're right.
But unions, on the other hand, who are 501c4 tax-exempt organizations, are free to openly endorse candidates and donate literally millions of dollars to their candidates' committees.
And that's the double standard.
Right, double standard. So I say, well, does that mean we should start taxing unions as well? Well, 50% of the people, no, unions aren't tax-exempt. And then I quote them the section of the IRS tax code that they are. Well, they provide a public service. I said, well, how's that different? So, again, the double standard.
We should just start a church that's really a union, that's really a church.
So, yeah, but yes, all the liberals want to tax churches, number one, because they think all churches are like the Joel Osteen, you know, mega church. And they don't understand you don't tax revenues, you tax profits, of which there's virtually none.
But they can't have it both ways. They're saying, stay out of public policy. We don't want your influence or your voice, but we want your money. We want all your congregants' money. Wait a second. We should be able to speak into these because we're all citizens of this great country, so we should be able to speak. The church for millennia has been a critique on the culture, a critique against the government, and it's not going to stop. We're going to speak truth to power, and you shouldn't take our money to do that. The whole the separation of church and state was to keep the government and the church from getting in bed with each other. One great way to ensure that we don't have a conflict of interest is keep the money separate.
Yes, and by the way, people misconstrue that.
They do. They got it backwards.
Right. It's to keep government from meddling in the church. Nothing in the Constitution.
Thank you, Joe.
Was construed to keep the church from meddling in government.
Thank you, Joe.
It was a one-way prohibition. Now, so by the way, if we're going to whatever standard we apply to the church, we should apply to union. Now, let me go a step further. But people say, well, how come the church has got PPP loans, which was to avoid them laying off their staffs? And well, how come we're going to give this to the church, or how can we can't give school voucher money for their schools? Are you guys familiar with the Trinity Lutheran Supreme Court decision?
No.
No, go ahead.
Down in I believe it was Tennessee, some town down there was giving away old tires and ground up rubbers. You know, they would take these tires off the snow plows and whatnot, and they were donating these surplus tires to playgrounds. And one of the churches said, hey, we'd like some of those old tires. And they were going ahead, and then some Karen said, wait a minute, church, Separation Church, like, that church can't get, you know, those are, you know, you're the government, you can't give the church those old tires. Case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court came back and said, no, you cannot discriminate against the church. You cannot withhold from the church something you make available to every other organization in your town just because they're religious.
That's good.
So it's a huge, so remember Trinity Lutheran, that the government cannot discriminate against the church when it comes to whether it be PPP loans, whether it be any sort of program, project, surplus equipment.
COVID restrictions.
They cannot, right, you cannot discriminate against the church and deny them something. And this should apply, by the way, to school vouchers. If you're going to have school vouchers for private schooling or for charter schools, then you should not be able to discriminate against churches if they have religious, if they have a church-run school.
Agreed. So, and by the way, the people who go to those schools are paying taxes, just like the people who go to public schools. So why should one kid have the money follow them and the other kid not have the money follow them? Joe, we got about a minute here, and I want to ask you to close on this. What do you see happening to the church in 2021? What are things going to look like with a Biden administration if that happens? Got about 45 seconds.
You know, Andy, I don't know. I'm very worried. I'm concerned, not only because of government interference, but for how long this lockdowns continue. Even where they've been overruled and the court has stepped in and said, no, you cannot prohibit that, people are still afraid. Older people are afraid. They're afraid to go, even though they're now permitted to go. And the church donations, churches are struggling, and I don't know what happened. Many of them may not survive, so that worries me.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We'll end her on that. And folks, that'll do it for today. If you missed the first hour, it replays next. I want to thank Rob Bray for joining me today.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Tomorrow is Anil Mattai is joining me for the entire day. And we'll also be interviewing U.S. House Representative Lauren Boebert. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.